Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. I got it working here. Welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. My name is Mark Johnston. Normally, I do have Heather here with me today. Heather is not feeling well, and so I decided to go ahead and run the podcast by myself. You know, I know a lot of you look forward to some of the material we put out, and this was a frequently requested topic that you wanted to be discussed. Today, we're actually going to be discussing apathy and boredom in marriage. We had put out a poll not too long ago, and we asked all of you about, like, how long have you been in your relationship? Has boredom set in? And I did notice that a lot of you, it was almost like there's this divide. There's a lot of you who were in those first years of marriage, you know, like under 10 years, but a whole lot of you, much more, like almost twice as much, were in that 10 years and above. And there were many comments about boredom or apathy setting in beyond that 10-year mark. And I found this really interesting. I was like, why is this happening? And what can we do to prevent things like this or to fix this sort of situation? But before we get into that, I want to talk about our client win of the week. This one's coming in from Monica. Monica says that she's had a win. He wants to work on our relationship and marriage. We both agree we have a long road ahead of us to repair and grow from what brought us to the brink of divorce. I'm hopeful for our future and grateful for the guidance and mindset help I've gotten through this course so far. This is the first time since last January that my husband has made any declaration that he's willing to try. Coming from Monica here. And like I said, I always love hearing these sort of stories that we're making a difference here with any of you. We put in a lot of time and effort to put together some quality material to talk about the topics that you're interested in, and then working with people directly to help them with their relationships. So glad that you're all here, and I'm glad that, you know, we're making a difference. If you yourself are looking for some extra support, you know, we have these podcasts, but we also work with people like you directly. If you're interested in that at all, you can go to our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com/apply, get a free consultation call. But anyways, apathy and boredom. What we hear from our clients, I want to like talk a little bit about that. I do frequently hear comments like, we didn't fight much. I had no idea that anything was wrong. We just drifted apart. We didn't have much in common anymore. Things got boring. I needed some freedom to be me. And all of these are kind of the kind of comments that I hear describing a very similar thing, is that boredom or apathy. Now, what we heard from you guys, some of the comments in the poll, I heard, we do get bored, but when that happens, we talk about it. I'm not sure if there is boredom, but we drifted apart. I'm trying to figure out a way to discuss this and get back to a happy marriage. Right now, we are just housemates with rings. My husband would never want to talk about how he felt. We've now been separated for 2 years. I ran out of things to talk to him about. I'm now trying to take an interest in the things he does and likes. Do you hear the theme in a lot of these comments? And this is a little bit what I was looking for when we put out the poll like that. I noticed that the people who get over this are the ones that are really able to communicate with their spouse. And the ones that feel like this is a big struggle is they're having a struggle with that discussion. You know, So after working with many people who are dealing with apathy or boredom, after reading a lot of your comments and observing what's going on in the group, I'm going to talk about a little bit about what creates apathy or boredom in a relationship. Now, it shouldn't come as too big of a surprise, but spending less time together is one of those high up on the list. I really like going into statistics. I like going into looking at studies on these sort of matters. And every time, when I was looking up other articles, when I was looking up reports on this thing, this is high up on the list. It was frequently in a lot of these other articles, a lot of the reports. This idea of spending less time together is going to, it ends up leading to some apathy. And I started thinking about this a little bit, and I was like, okay, is it, it's kind of like a chicken or the egg sort of scenario. Does the apathy come first, and so you spend less time together? Or do you spend less time together and then the apathy sets in? And sometimes I think it's a little bit hard to tell. But what I can tell is that there are things that lead to spending less time together. Especially if you feel like you lose things to discuss with your partner. Maybe because conversation itself is shut down for some reason. Maybe there is a partner who outright refuses to talk. Gottman would call this stonewalling, and that is a high predictor of divorce. But there may be other reasons why conversation isn't happening. More often, someone is quiet and they don't want to speak up. Maybe they don't want to trouble their partner. Maybe they don't want to rock the boat. Very frequently, I think a big culprit in spending less time together is simply couples get more occupied with other pursuits, their career. Activities, hobbies, maybe kids are coming up. It can be a big thing. Like, essentially, boredom in relationships frequently comes, in my opinion, from overwhelm. I don't know about any of you, but sometimes I talk to my wife, Jana, and I'm just like, you know what? Adulting, being an adult, is hard. Between career and soccer practice, or just kid needs in general, or maintaining the house, paying the bills, or whatever it happens to be, there can sometimes be very, very little energy left over to give to someone else who wants your attention. And being overwhelmed with too many things can lead many people to retreat into what they need personally to feel recharged. If this isn't easily available from their partner, because they too are overwhelmed, then it's simply better, faster, or easier to meet that need on your own. And this leads to people pursuing recharging activities elsewhere, perhaps boredom in marriage. It leads to a lot of problems, honestly. It could lead to anything from infidelity or, boredom and apathy and things like this. But it's generally not a great pattern in a relationship. If people are needing to meet their needs outside of the relationship on a regular basis, because those needs aren't available within the relationship. So, spending less time together is a big red flag for me. Taking a partner for granted. I'm going to refer to Gottman again. He talks about contempt, and certainly that can lead to taking a partner for granted, but essentially, a little bit more of what I'm talking about here is as partners become more used to each other, it can really become easy to start seeing the other person as the role that they perform rather than the person that you fell in love with. I can't tell you how many times I have heard these sort of phrases. Complaints that my husband isn't a man. Like he's not providing for me. I've heard that recently, several times. Or it might be my wife, whatever the expected role happens to be, whether that's isn't maintaining the house, isn't organized enough, isn't taking care of the kids. They don't take care of the kids. They go out and do their own thing. They're just leaving me alone by myself. We don't have sex anymore. So on and so forth. But even with a lot of those complaints, they're looking at their partner as the role that they perform, whether it is the person that provides them comfort, it's the person that provides them money, it's the person that takes care of the house. And you need to ask yourself, are you upset because the house is a mess? Or are you fighting because your partner isn't making as much money as you were, or as much as they used to? Is there resentment because there isn't enough sex? And the way around this, I feel, is genuine and heartfelt appreciation for the contributions that your partner does provide to the relationship instead of demands or expectations. Now, this, of course, doesn't mean that there can't be feedback if something needs to be adjusted or you need more support in an area of your life. I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk about needing to make more money, or you shouldn't talk about wanting to have more of an intimate connection. But it's that line that it's hard, a little bit hard to walk, where you're saying, these are things that I would really appreciate more, versus, this is what you're supposed to do in a marriage, and you're not doing this, and therefore, it's reducing that person to the role that they perform. The other piece here that leads to apathy. Actually, I'm gonna speak a moment more on that. That taking a partner for granted, why that leads to apathy and boredom, is if you are the one being taken for granted, the tendency is to disconnect from the relationship. You step away, you become a little bit more bored, you don't want to engage in that relationship anymore. So that lack of appreciation, looking at your partner as the role that they perform, tends to push people in that direction. Anyway, so the third thing, avoiding conflict. And yep, you heard me right. I said avoiding conflict leads to apathy and boredom. I have a my wife and I, we have another couple that we're friends with. They're much more fiery with each other than we are. Jen and I are very calm. We don't like to rock the boat a lot. And what I found interesting is they were talking about that dynamic between the two of them. They described it as like they knew that the other person cared because they were fighting. And I found that really interesting. I'm not suggesting that you need to go out and cause drama and conflict. It does work for some people. I do know that high conflict relationship can be just fine for certain types of people. But avoiding conflict is a really terrible situation. What tends to be the case is if there is a partner who is much more comfortable with conflict and someone who is not. And this is really what it comes down to. Like Jen and I, my wife and I, are a little bit less comfortable with conflict. It's just what it is. We've had to work towards having those discussions a bit more. But it works because we are both in that same boat. My friend, our friends, this other couple with high conflict, it works because they're on a similar axis. But when you have partners who are on different points with that comfort with conflict, there can be a lot of problems. If one partner becomes concerned with rocking the boat, they put down their own feelings or opinions or emotions to avoid upsetting the other partner, and that partner is going to be the one that's decisive in speaking up and is going to speak their mind. We have a situation where the person suppressing their own feelings is going to disconnect, become bored or apathetic towards the relationship. I mean, essentially, this is an issue with feedback, both giving and receiving, and it's a very, very common issue in long-term relationships. You'll frequently hear me say that I believe that the best skill for a healthy relationship is learning the skill to both give and receive feedback effectively. We've discussed this a lot in other videos, but suffice it to say, Feedback is highly important, and you do need to have some room for conflict in your relationship if you are going to avoid this apathy and boredom. The last bit that I feel like is a really big red flag that causes this in relationships is the loss of physical and even and especially sexual affection or intimacy. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're just tired and having time for sex is the last thing on your mind. Maybe your partner has let themselves go, and not only are you not attracted to them physically, but there has been increased conflict, and you're not sure you actually like your partner much at the moment. In terms of attraction, I almost always with couples, if that's an issue, I would always look at, okay, where's the emotional conflict in the relationship? Are there other factors? And almost always there's other factors besides just physical attraction. But anyways, I like what Susan Pease Gadoa, I hope I'm saying that name right, says on this matter. She applies, I don't know if you all are familiar with Abraham Maslow, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. She applies Maslow's hierarchy of needs in a way to relationships to explain this sort of thing. She talks about it as needs that motivate us daily to like actually meet these marital needs. At the lowest level, she explains, just like in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's needs for survival. In marriage, this is, okay, can we exist in the same house? Can we pay our bills? Can we actually have a physical, are we actually married? Things like very basic needs. She explains, going up from that, if those needs are met, then you can start focusing on safety needs within the relationship, having emotional or physical safety, making sure that you can be open and honest with each other, that there's some basic trust, that there's some assurance that the other person is going to be there for you. And when you move up to the third level, it's where this need for sex and physical affection is. And this is relationship love needs, where the partner can provide intimacy, affection, compassion, companionship, kindness, and lovemaking, sex. We can see that only after the basic needs are met that a sexual relationship can be provided or expected. Otherwise, it feels really off. And I'll sometimes have to talk to couples about this as they're coming back together, as they're repairing their relationship. One partner or the other starts to ask, like, why aren't we having sex again? Like, why, as we're repairing our relationship, why isn't this coming back? And I have to talk about, okay, are these other factors in place? But I'm talking about this. This is why the overwhelmed, overworked partner leads to a lack of intimacy and then to boredom and apathy within the relationship. Basically, if you're not getting some of these needs met, in this case, a need for affection, once again, your partner is going to withdraw or disconnect, become bored with the relationship. If you look at this, each of these things are touching on some basic emotional needs. A need to connect and spend time together. A need to have respect and consideration. A need to feel important to your partner. Like all of these are basic emotional needs. And when basic emotional needs are not met within a relationship, people tend to do odd things and they tend to not they tend to not go to that relationship anymore. They become bored with it. And this is the real problem here. If it gets to an extreme level, the partner then starts looking for those needs elsewhere, outside of the relationship. And at some point they say, it's easier for me to meet my needs outside of the relationship than within. And so therefore, it's no longer just about boredom or apathy. They say it. They just went out. And I know a lot of you have experienced that sort of discussion. And this is what's surrounding this sort of discussion. The solution to this, I found this interesting. The solution is actually in a lot of the comments that were in this poll. A lot of you commented like, "Hey, boredom sets into our relationship, but then we talk about it." I can only imagine the kind of conversations that are going on there. You all didn't give details. That's fine. I understand. You're not going to want to talk about those intimate details of conversations you have in your marriage. I think we don't do that. It's not normal. But I can imagine those kind of conversations where you say, "Hey, this is something that's going wrong. I would like to do something about it. I would like to fix it." And this goes back to what I was saying earlier. One of the biggest, most important skills that you can have active within a relationship is the ability to give and receive feedback, an ability to correct problems that are there, an ability to both feel heard and to hear your partner. And the same applies when apathy or boredom sets into a relationship. We could say, "Okay, well, I became bored because, I kept approaching the relationship and I wasn't heard. I became bored because we didn't spend any time together. I became bored because we stopped having sex." Okay, those are all legitimate reasons. And now the next step is to figure out a way to have that conversation and make sure that there are adjustments. I know it's a tall order. It's a big thing to ask because I know a lot of you, that's a struggle. And I know a lot of you are, have a hard time with bringing up these really difficult conversations. If that is you, let us know in the comments. If you're saying, "I would love to have more feedback in my relationship. I would love to listen to my partner. I'd love to be able to have them listen to me. And I'd love to make some adjustments." Let us know. I would love to talk about this myself in another podcast with Heather. We're always open to ideas in terms of what you would like us to talk about. So let us know in the comments if this is something that would be of interest to you. Just say, "Hey, I would love to hear about, learning about how to have these difficult conversations." So, we are going to move on from that conversation. We're going to go on to our marriage mythbuster for today. We've kind of covered it already. The myth that I saw within the group, that I've seen in other articles, that I've seen all over the place, this idea that the absence of fighting is a good marriage. We just talked about this, people. We talked about avoiding conflict. A lack of conflict can lead to apathy. It can lead to boredom. And I want to explain that in a little bit more detail. But this is a myth. And I want to emphasize that this is a myth. As with all things, however, anything can go to an extreme. So what I'm saying here is I'm not saying that you want a marriage filled with conflict. I'm not saying that. But neither do you want one where conflict is non-existent. I've heard this sometimes, in the clients that I see. They'll say, "We never fought. I don't know what happened." I'll also hear it in some older couples where we have a great relationship. We never fight because I learned an essential phrase. I learned the phrase, "Yes, dear." And I kind of cringe when I hear that phrase in particular, that sort of statement. Here's the thing, something that I learned some time ago that I've really kept in mind, something that I really like this idea. Every one of us is different. I know, it may be news. maybe it's not. Even if two people come from similar regions, same religious background, similar cultural upbringing, similar race, etc., they're still going to have different values, opinions, or choices on different matters. shocking, you know, right? What people have different opinions, yeah. They're still going to have all these differences. And frequently, conflict, it's a way to resolve differences of opinions. And a healthy relationship results from having healthy avenues to bring up conflict and resolve it so that each partner is satisfied. One of my concerns when a couple reports that they desire to have zero conflict or fighting, well, one of my concerns when that's brought up, they say, you know, I don't want to have any fights anymore. Is it typically, you know, the result is it means that someone's opinion in those scenarios is going to be reduced or ignored. It means that someone will be unable to speak a different opinion. And I want to get actually a little bit serious right now. Because currently, we're in a political period where conflict is either super high or it's shut down completely. And I'm not gonna point fingers because I actually, me, I feel like this is across the board. And I find this interesting because, like, as a society, this sort of relationship is very much has similar features as in a very personal relationship. And what I notice, I talk with some people, and as a you know, as a result, we see that civil discussion and an ability to have open be open about opinions is less, you know, it's shut down. It's less likely when someone's opinion is being dismissed. Like I said, I talked to many individuals, and this is, I want you to pay attention to this. I talked to many individuals who want to check out from society. They say, I can't be on Facebook anymore. I can't talk to my friends about politics. I can't talk to my friends about my thoughts on this matter. Or I might hear something else. They're like, did you know? I hear from friends, did you know that this person over here is a Trump supporter, or this person over here is a Biden supporter, and they're not a terrible person. I've heard this phrase exactly. And I find this really interesting because there's already this assumption that, okay, because this person holds this political view or that political view, we need to discount or disconnect or, you know, not have conversations with them. And, you know, when I talk to these people, like, did you know that they belong to this political party or another? And we don't have to fight. It's kind of like the thing. It blows their minds. And I find that, I just, like I said, I find this really fascinating. But what the result here is, because of the political environment and people feeling like they can't be open with conflict without being shut down, they disconnect, which is a lot of what we've been talking about today. And the result is, because they've disconnected, there's a low simmering resentment in a lot of people that are disconnecting. They can't speak up, they can't have their opinion, they have that resentment. I'm pointing out in relationships and in society, there's a mirror here, and a healthy amount of conflict can be good. Conflict in healthy ways can be very good. And I get concerned when there is calls to shut down discussion or debate or conflict, whether that's in personal relationships or otherwise. I know we don't often get political here, but, you know, I think, you know, for me, standing in that middle ground is my role in a lot of things, and I, you know, I'm going to keep that middle ground here as well. But anyways, conflict in relationships in healthy ways is the ideal. It's all over the place. It's all over the research, the statistics. Let's have some healthy conflict in your marriage. Let's have some healthy conflict in society. Next week, we're going to talk about marriage versus cohabitation. I'm going to give a spoiler. Statistics show cohabitating before marriage is not a great thing, even after, you know, even with current times. And I want to talk about why and what you can do to avoid some of the pitfalls with Some of that. Not to say that if you lived with your partner before you're married, that everything's doomed, but I'm guessing that if you're having a healthy relationship, it's because you probably have some of these healthy practices in your relationship. So I'd like to talk all about that next week. See you then.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.